This is Rainmaker FM, the digital marketing podcast network. It's built on the Rainmaker platform, which empowers you to build your own digital marketing and sales platform. Start your free 14-day trial at rainmakerplatform.com.
There is sound advice from Robert Bruce.
Speaking and that's of which, the end of the podcast yes. Right there. We're done.
The 30-second podcast.
1, 2, 3.
Sidebar, the podcast is brought to you by an event called Authority Rainmaker. This is a carefully designed live educational experience that presents a complete and effective online marketing strategy to help you immediately accelerate your business. Get all the details right now at rainmaker.fm/event, and we look forward to seeing you in Denver, Colorado this May. That's rainmaker.fm/event. Welcome back to No Sidebar. This is Brian Gardner, your host. And today is going to be a completely different day than any other in No Sidebar podcast history. For the first time ever, I am going to go completely unscripted, and I'm trying something new, partly because I've gained a little bit of confidence with my ability to speak elegantly, but also because I've gotten some feedback from the listeners that while the content of the show is great, at times it sounds and feels scripted, which, trust me, I am the first one to admit that and to say, yes, you are right. And so joining me today to help me cut my teeth is Robert Bruce, who, if you don't know, he's the golden voice of Copyblogger. He's also the vice president of marketing for the Rainmaker platform and also the guy who's in charge completely of Rainmaker.fm, the podcast network.
Good morning, Mr. Gardner. Good morning, No Sidebar listeners. This is like you, I was thinking about you wanted to just start recording and start talking. This is in film, it's cinema verite, I think. So where they just grab the camera and try to make a movie out of everyday occurrences. So this is a bit of audio verite, I think.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. Blair Witch Project is, you know, back in our day, that was kind of almost like the first reality TV or the reality something, even though it totally was scripted, but it totally wasn't. And it was so good and actually better than reality TV because I'm an advocate of the fact that reality TV is anything but. But the Blair Witch Project, as I watched that and watched it again, even to this day, I'm like, was that real or was it not?
Yeah.
You know?
And the great thing about Blair Witch was it's the ultimate demonstration of creating within constraints, right? Like, they had no budget. They had, I don't know, maybe there's some secret budget that they had. But, you know, the cameras they were using, the way they filmed it, absolutely. Anybody who thinks they can't get anything done because of certain constraints, financial or otherwise, go watch Blair Witch. And to be fair, Brian, this scripting thing is an interesting idea because you want the idea of writing a script is you want the thing to be good. You want it to be focused. You want it to be interesting. But it's one of the hardest things to do, naturally. And you've done a very, very good job of it. It's a difficult task, but this is interesting today.
I love the idea of the script, and it is a crutch. But the problem is, and in most cases, when things get overused, they're perceived as being overused. Women in makeup are a perfect example of this. When people put on makeup, they use it to look beautiful, but sometimes they go so over the top and put on so much makeup, it becomes a turnoff. And we're overproduced kind of by nature. We build for consumption, you know, which immediately sets ourselves up for people-pleasing tendencies. And that's what I've done with the podcast. And I'm trying to, you know, address that by being more natural. I think there's a lot of beauty in natural. And in podcasts I hear, you know, when I hear people scripted, I'm the first one to say, huh, that's scripted. But then I'm like, that's calling the kettle black, right? Because look in the mirror and that's exactly what I'm doing. And so this is my opportunity to try something new. And I will admit that having you on the show to do it with is both bittersweet and also, well, here's the thing, and this is part of what I want to talk about. So before we get started, I just want to kind of set the tone and say that Robert and I are going to talk about being confidently creative. That is the focus of today's show because in our own way, both he and I struggle. Ironically, it's with each other's skills, actually. I want to be a better podcaster, and so I look at you as the golden voice of podcasting, which at times cripples me, but also it also motivates me. And I think from a design perspective, it kind of goes the other way where we've had conversations where, you know, you hate me for my ability to just hop on and design something very quickly.
Yes.
And as long as those things are kept in check, I think they're positive.
Yeah, I do hate you for that. And at some point you were gonna give me like a 10 hours free training with Illustrator and Photoshop or something like that. Was that the deal?
Yes, we have Authority Rainmaker in May. I think we sit down in Denver at a coffee shop at 11 o'clock one night and close it down, and we will podcast and design on the fly and teach each other stuff.
All right, this is on the record. Real quick, on the natural thing, this is it's an interesting point you bring up, because this entire thing is wholly unnatural, right? Like hitting record, talking into a microphone, even though we're having a relatively casual conversation here, it's completely unnatural. And I think that's something that people should keep in mind, even when they are trying to be quote unquote authentic or quote unquote natural. One of the best things I ever heard about this was John Gruber over at Daring Fireball told a story about the early days of his site. And I think he was testing out advertising. He was looking at, you know, how to start to make some revenue with the site early on. But I don't know if he came up with it or if he read it somewhere. It was this idea of matching, you know, advertising with your audience's interest, which is a very difficult thing to do if you're going to try and do it. He said it's kind of like a toupee as well. I mean, you brought up the makeup issue, but for men, you know, a lot of men have hair troubles. You and I included, right?
Yes.
But he says, you know, a lot of guys will go full bore with, you know, whatever, the plugs or the toupee or whatever. And I get it. You know, you want to have what you once had. But he says the way to look at it is the Bruce Willis school of hair restoration. He says what Bruce Willis did was not try to recreate his original hairline. What he did was just fill in, you know, what was the basics of what was there. So it's, you know, he's still got he's still balding, he's still receding, but it's a more natural approach to it. Totally unnatural, but somehow it works better. And you'd never know it.
That's definitely interesting.
No sidebar, hair restoration podcast.
Yes. And the funny thing with toupees is that most people who wear toupees look like they're wearing toupees. And so in their mind, they think, I have hair. In our minds, you're wearing a toupee, and I can clearly see that. So here's the thing, though. Yesterday, I was having some internal conversations with myself and trying to identify where I'm at currently with what I'm doing. And I came up with this thought, which really, I think, kind of started to spell things out for me. And the thought I had was, the more I focus on being great, the less I succeed at being good. In our society, everybody wants to be the elite, and we all aim for the top, and there really isn't anything wrong with that. You know, for example, I try to write the epic post, and because I can't write the epic post, I don't write at all. And that's kind of symptomatic of the good versus great thing, where we feel like if we can't be the best, we shouldn't do it at all. And I think that is absolutely wrong. I think by working on being good, you become great.
I was told once by a coach years ago when I did sports stuff, it's been a long time, that being nervous before a race or whatever, coach says, you know why you're nervous? He says, because you want to win. Because you want to be, in other words, you want to be perfect. You want to be great, to your point. He says, if you approach it, I think, you know, being nervous about something is, you know, tough to get rid of altogether, because you care about this thing and you care about this show and your listeners, and we all do. But the idea of somehow finding a way to approach it with the idea of being good, of mastering the fundamentals, which I think, if I'm not wrong, we'll get into a little bit later, rather than, like you say, trying to be great.
Anybody who follows me knows that I talk about the things that I go through, the things that I think and listen and hear and read and watch. And, you know, lately, I've been kind of on this Anna Kendrick in the last 5 years spiel, which is piggybacking off of a phase I went through with the movie Begin Again and Keira Knightley, which both movies and both actresses and both characters in those movies I fell completely in love with. Not because they're pretty girls, but what I found was there was relatability in their characters, because in both cases, they were presented as sort of normal people. In Begin Again, Keira Knightley was the girlfriend of Adam Levine, who in the show was the movie star. And Anna Kendrick, sort of in the same fashion, was married to this guy, Jamie, who was the best-selling book author. So in both cases, they were the shadow. In both cases, they were presented as kind of normal people. And in both cases, those actresses sang the songs that are in the movies. And I was like, neither of which sang them, you know, in Hollywood fashion, but that was the appealing part. I was like, wow, Keira Knightley actually has a good voice. But I think it kind of, what's the word I'm looking for? It really...
She allowed herself to not be perfect or highly trained or, you know, some great Broadway singer in that moment.
Yeah, exactly. And especially in the last 5 years, Anna Kendrick is very clumsy and awkward with the way she sings. I'm sure technically it's not, you know, Mariah Carey would do. But I think that's what makes it so appealing was that, hey, non-great people can do non-great things and have it be great, actually. As crazy as that sounds.
No, I really like this. And I think it's, you could argue it's the age of being, you know, all these words are tossed around a lot, authenticity, all these things like that. But there is a sense, particularly in this medium of podcasting, where I think people want, you know, the more polished, you and I have had that conversation, they don't want the golden age of the age of the golden throated radio announcer is over, right? Like they don't want that polished, perfect production so much anymore. And you see this in all kinds of, you know, songwriting. I mean, it comes and goes. We should get somebody else on here to talk about music because I'm not the one. That's more your department, but kind of rolling ideas of what is good and what is not. And I think we're in one of those periods where people want the raw, authentic, as much as is possible to get there while talking behind a microphone.
Yeah, you know, I realize that I am not Ryan Seacrest. I am never going to be Ryan Seacrest or Robert Bruce for that matter. And what I need to do is be okay in my own body. And when I'm okay in my own body, that is when, in a weird way, confidence comes back. And the audience can relate. When they think you're trying to put yourself out of body and become someone you're not, A, it comes across that way, and B, there's just, you know, some degree of, okay, you know, poser type of, you know, mentality that people have. And, you know, I do it myself. As much as I hate to admit that, you know, I judge others. It's a fault of mine, but by nature, we try to build ourselves up by knocking others down. And so even within our own network, I'll hear a podcast and I'll be like, oh, that was awkward. I would have cut that out. And, if you know, that's a terrible way to look at it. And I'm also a believer when we knock people down, it's because we are envious of them. For example, you know, whether it's musicians or models or athletes, we all have these people that we look up to and admire. But there comes a point, especially if they're in the field you're in, there comes a point where that admiration becomes resentment. And that's a very dangerous spot to be in. You know, look back to the 80s or 90s or whenever the whole Tonya Harding and Nancy Kerrigan thing went down, where they were teammates. And it got to a point where I think there was some jealousy and envy. And obviously, it led to that whole fiasco. It reminds me of Sean Merriman. I don't know if you remember him, but he was a linebacker for the San Diego Chargers way back in the day. And in an interview, I heard him say, when asked, you know, Sean, why are you in the gym all the time? And he said, if I'm not in the gym working out, my opponent might be.
Yep.
I mean, you're going to be in the gym 24 hours?
Yeah, and, right. You know, there's only so much you can do.
Speaking of being unfiltered and transparent, Robert's microphone or something on his end just went out. And so I wanted to kind of take a second and say, hey, here's a bridge in between his audio, in case you happen to notice that things are a little bit off moving forward. He still sounds great. He's in his closet. I don't suspect, even if I had said nothing, you would have ever realized that there was a difference. But in the event that you do, there's a reason for that. And we're just going to unedit this and let it go, because that is, after all, part of podcasting. So
this audio is verite, right?
Yes, this is our ugly. And hey, that's cool. It's all good. All right, so getting back to where we were, we talked kind of a lot about kind of us personally, me, my fandom of Keira Knightley and Anna Kendrick. And the reality of it is in some fashion, this needs to get pulled back into business, right? Because at least for me, I spend so much time focusing on the personal that I sometimes forget to apply how this all goes down and what it does to me as a business guy. And I wrote a post today on BrianGardner.com specifically kind of calling myself out on being unfocused when it comes to work stuff. I'm unfocused anyways, but, you know, I have a responsibility as a partner of CopyBlogger, as a lead design overseer in the company to make sure that things go down. And one of my responsibilities is, of course, running the No Sidebar podcast. I think from a business perspective, the things that I struggle with personally also carry over. And so I don't think I'm expected to do everything great in the company. I think that is a setup for failure. It's a setup for whatever, but I need to be good. And by focusing on great, I'm sometimes not good. And this past week has been a good example of me not being good because I've been so focused on being great and trying to record and edit and overproduce the perfect podcast episode, partly so that the company thinks I'm great, partly because the audience will think I'm great. And in the process, I end up with egg on my face.
Which I think egg on your face, I think it may be a little too strong, but I think the sentiment is absolutely correct because trying too hard doesn't get you rarely, if ever, what you want.
So on last week's show, it was all about the No Sidebar Guide to DIY Podcasting. And one of the things I've learned in the 6 weeks I've been doing this is that I spend so much time trying to make such a small difference, and it kills my productivity. You know, I will spend 3 hours editing a show that, in turn, as last week's was, in my opinion, felt overproduced. And I'm like, well, there was a waste of time, which really it wasn't. But in my own mind, when I sit down and think about it, I'm like, once in a while, I'm like, I just wish I could just sit down like Brian and Robert probably do, hit record for 30 seconds, you know, put a bumper in a, you know, an intro and an outro and be done rather than take up the whole week, right? Because it takes me some time to write the script. It takes me some time to record it. And I re-record it 100 times to make sure it's perfect. And then I go through and edit it. And like, it's a 12-hour production. And that is completely no sidebar.
Yeah, we had talked about, I don't know when, a few days ago, you know, the idea of overproduction, specifically as it relates to the script. You know, someone like Damien, who's doing his daily show, Rough Draft, he's writing, you know, 500-700 word script for that show 4 days a week. Now, Damien can do that. It's a number of factors, though. I think he is a perfectionist, but it's kind of a different thing from maybe what you and I struggle with. But he is also extremely prolific. And I think he probably has an ability to let go of those things more than you or I do. So he's able to kind of go through that process a lot more quickly and get things done and get them out into the world.
And it's funny, I mentioned earlier that I sort of kind of, in my own head, sort of judge and critique those even within our own network. And when I hear Damien's, there's part of me that's like, oh my gosh, that's so weirdly, awkwardly unnatural for him to come across as he does. But first of all, what I know that others don't is that is Damien, first of all.
Right, right.
But also there's that part of me that when I think that in my brain, there's total envy in the fact that he can just let go of really, kind of the perception, for me at least, is he doesn't really care. I mean, he does, but he doesn't. He doesn't care that others perceive him as, you know, sounding drunk or whatever some of the other things that people have been saying are. And I'm like, there's a guy whose hair is down, he's recording, he's having a good time, he's conveying his thoughts, and who cares how it comes across? I think of it as unproduced. Others think of it as, wow, this is just brilliant. I'm like, it took him 20 minutes to record that, not 12 hours like me. So who's the silly person here? So whether it's podcasting, whether it's writing or design for that matter, I think there's, you know, you have to do some sort of quality control. You just can't hit record and, you know, some people kind of just take advantage of the fact that they think people want that. And so there has to be a degree of editing, but
yeah, the abuse of the DIY ethic.
Let's talk about Allegorical. This is your new show on the network. Which is funny. I'm such a non-writer. I actually had to go look up what allegorical even meant. you take for granted that you know all of this stuff. And then there's me. I'm like, what does that even mean?
Actually, there was a little bit of debate in my mind about it because there's several words that describe that kind of thing. Allegory, fable, parable. And so I was playing around with different things. But all of these forms, if we're not familiar with the words, we're familiar with the style, like probably the most famous, John Bunyan's Pilgrim's Progress, a lot of the work of C.S. Lewis, and then the Grimm, you know, Grimm's fairy tales all the way down to George Orwell's Animal Farm and even 1984. This idea of, you know, it's a very specific literary device in which you hope to teach, put forth some idea within the context of the story. I like it. I normally don't like this. I don't think this is the purpose of art, is to teach. I really don't. But this is a very particular form that its entire reason for being is to teach or to put forth an idea. So anyway, yeah, that was the idea. Very short, very quick little allegory slash a parable with a business
a bit of business wisdom wrapped inside of it. Some will be a little more difficult to unwrap than others, I think, but ended by a great quote by somebody that's relevant to what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, so you mentioned at the beginning of the show how you hate me for my design ability, and when I heard, I suspected this would have been the case, but when I heard the first episode of Allegorical, I immediately crafted very harsh words for you and your ability to A, sound golden, B, use great bumper music in and out, and, you know, C, just have just brilliant writing within it, all three of which I feel like I'm inadequate. And, you know, with you, because you're such a great guy and we relate on so many levels, I don't ever let it get to that, you know.
Actual hatred, murderous.
Yeah, I mean, we say that in tongue in cheek, but I don't ever really feel that way about you. In fact, I look up to you in many ways and just want to learn from that. But you said something to me, and I hope you don't mind sharing this. You said something to me about what you think will happen to that show in the context of the network. And I think that it's kind of important and relevant to what we're talking about. If you don't mind, would you share that?
I think it'll probably be the first show to be canceled when we get around to thinking about those things.
And so why do you think that is?
I think, and you can't ever be sure about it. Sometimes, like Damien's stuff, you know, it's so different, and so his personality and his character are so unique, as all of us are. But in his case, it just seems to be a little more pronounced that you think, wow, that how could that possibly in some senses work? But it does. And not only does it work, it surprisingly, you know, people just love it. And that's always what happens. You can never predict a best-selling book. If you could, every book would be a bestseller, right? And so in some sense, you know, I could be wrong, and that'd be incredible. It'd be delightful to be wrong about my opinion about Allegorical. I think that the idea of, again, like we talked in the beginning, the idea of swimming against the stream is, and I'm not purposely trying to do this, this is a proven form of education and entertainment and enlightenment, this idea of the allegory. But within the context of modern business, it's a little bit rare, right? It may work, it may not work. What I do know is that I love doing it, and it's, you know, it's in line with what we're trying to do with Rainmaker FM, the network as a whole. And it's something that, you know, I'm probably better at doing than, you know, writing the 2,000 word expositional article. This is definitely an experiment. It's an idea in trying to, maybe it's trying to cram some storytelling into the marketing category of iTunes. I don't know. Maybe it's that simple, but we'll see.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I relate in some fashion, you know, from the design side, where I'll design something that I think is really interesting and really great. And I think something that our audience, those who follow me, will eat up, and then they don't. And
yep.
I'm like, what? I'm like, yep. This is great. This is new. This is different. As a whole, audiences can have a certain expected behavior, whether it's in the production of a podcast, in the presentation of a design. And when something's, you know, kind of offline, that maybe it surprises them. Maybe they're not ready for it. Maybe it's, you know, beauty is in the eye of the beholder, right? And so you with Allegorical and me with my design, I think we love what we've done, and it's in the presentation and a methodology of what we love to do that makes it so good in our eyes. But in other eyes, we have to keep in mind who our audience is. And that's another point for people who are in business, those who write, those who design, those who, you know, do whatever, is as much as you want to do it your way, you still need to make sure that there's an audience that responds to it. Because ultimately, if you create something that nobody buys, well, then you haven't sold anything, right?
Yep. No. And actually, this is pretty much the point of my next episode of Allegorical. Sorry for the ceaseless promotion of my own show here.
I opened you up to it. And I listened to it, by the way.
Thank you.
Yeah, I listened to the draft. It's not out yet, but it will be by the time you hear this.
Well, yeah, and it's the idea of, you know, if you want to create what you want to create and build what you want to build without any regard for, you know, markets or audiences or any, that's fine. People do that all day long, as they should, as we all should to one degree or another. But if we're talking about business, you're absolutely right. The consideration of market, you know, depending on what you're doing, topical market, audience, they have to be there, because without the audience, you know, we have nothing. To your idea of this kind of obsession with greatness, which then sacrifices or potentially sacrifices being good, you know, one thing to keep in mind is that we really don't have any control over greatness. Like, you can't, I guess you could, if you were crazy, decide to get up one day and be, I am going to be great, or this work of mine is going to be great and hallowed through the ages. You can't really do that, right? You don't, that's the job of the audience to bestow on the work. You don't have control over whether something is great. Other people have that control. The thing that you can do is to show up, train ceaselessly, educate yourself, get better, and then do your job. The nitty gritty is in the daily, I guess the secret, if there is one to any of this, is the boring day in, day out hard work that all of us will either choose to do or not.
Yeah, no, I agree with the, I think also what we think is great versus what others think is great, or even others within the audience, some think it's great, some think it's not. It reminds me of this girl, Pia Toscano, who a few seasons ago on American Idol had this song that I thought was just, she sung it so epically, and I thought, oh my gosh, this is the next American Idol, it's the next Carrie Underwood, she may even outsell Carrie because she was so good and her vocals were so spot on, and she got voted out, and I was like, what? You know, because the audience, and I'm a believer in this, the audience on American Idol, they want characters rather than skill. I mean, I hate to say it, it kind of comes off that way where you get some of these kind of goofy people that win, and I'm like, well, that's great, but they're not going to sell any records. And that speaks to the same point we were talking about, which is, you know, if you select something or put something in place that people don't get, well, then you don't sell anything. And so I was like, well, okay, so they screwed up again this season where a few people get voted out, and I'm like, you're voting out the people who are going to put food on the table.
Yeah, if you want to be the pioneer with the arrows in your back, slaving away for years and years to educate a certain group of people or a certain target market in something, go ahead. You're absolutely welcome to that. But that's not necessarily what we're talking about in the context of this show.
Okay, so I'm going to cut us off here because this is a pretty good transition point. I didn't expect that this was going to ultimately become two episodes, Robert, but I would love to have you back for next week's show so we can take this all a little bit further. If you like what you're hearing on the No Sidebar podcast, the best way to support the show is to leave a rating and or a comment over on iTunes. Want more? Check out nosidebar.com and sign up for our newsletter. Each week, we curate the very best and most interesting articles when it comes to designing a simple life. At work, at home, and in the soul. Until next week, this has been Brian Gardner and Robert Bruce. Peace out.